If I was to rate my guests on a level of how quickly they could whoop my butt, this guy's at the top of the list. Welcome to Fascinating People, brought to you by 99.3 Moose FM. My name is Drew, and our guest this week is a trained, skilled, and honored martial artist. Justin Powell takes us through his history of earning his own school, of earning his black belts, and his philosophy when it comes to martial arts and fighting as a whole. Fascinating People brings anybody from the area that's willing to tell their story. And the invitation is open to you. Because remember, everybody is fascinating. You just got to get them to tell you why. Send me an email, drew@moosefm.com. But it's not about you today. It is about Justin Powell. So this is another edition of Fascinating People. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, I'm Quang Jang Nim, Justin Powell. I've been doing martial arts for nearly 38 years now. I'm originally from Kapuskasing, Ontario, and I was moved here in 1986 with my father. He actually opened the school that I run now, and it's been a long time training with him.
I read up your biography online that said you actually started when you were 3 months old. How accurate is that?
It's very accurate. My father used to sit me in his lap, and he'd take my arms to exercise me and do the motions of the blocks, or maki techniques of Taekwondo. And then eventually I started to be able to do them on my own.
Wow. So I'd like to talk about like the different forms of martial arts with you in a second. But first, I want to know a little bit more about Justin. Like, I don't even know what you look like. When we were exchanging emails, everybody's got a profile picture that is attached to their email. I get one from you, and I see a man completely dressed in black, except for the eye slits. What was that all about?
Ah, that would have probably been my ninja costume. One Christmas, my mother decided to get me a ninja suit because I've always been obsessed with ninjutsu. And one of the years that I got a black belt in ninjutsu, they actually got me a suit to go with it.
Fantastic. So I'm guessing this has been like a lifelong thing. You say you started at 2 months. Was there ever really a moment where you weren't into martial arts?
When I was younger, I always practiced, but I would stray away and try other sports and play with my friends. It was never forced upon me, but I would always come back with a vengeance and a passion. It was just always something that I loved.
So then you said it was your father that got you involved in this. His name was Gary, am I right?
Yeah, Gary Powell.
Gary Powell. And do you know about how long he was doing that?
He originally started back in the early 60s with George Pavlovich. He's an Olympic medalist for Russia. And he started with Greco wrestling and a lot of Russian type wrestling. Then he started with some judo, and eventually in 71, I believe it was, he started Taekwondo.
And then opened up his own, do you call it a studio or does it have a special name?
In Korean, it's known as a dojang. And he originally opened his first studio in 1984 up in Kapuskasing. And then he moved it here in 1986. So he's been at it a long time.
Well, apparently so have you, since you were very young. Has it always kind of been your goal to follow in your father's footsteps, in a sense?
It's always been an independent passion of mine, but I ended up following in his footsteps as being a teacher.
Right, because I read that you actually had taken over his school around the year 2000?
I took the school over in 2000, and as of January last year, he stepped down as president of Central Canada Martial Arts Association and gave me presidency and promoted me to Ninth Dan, which is the shareholder position.
What is that? The Central Canada,
Martial Arts Association. He started it in 1988 to promote true martial arts and geared it all around actual self-defense and self-protection. In the 80s, there was a lot of tournament going on, and he decided to walk away from that direction because it doesn't protect you on the street.
Mm. There's no real practical use?
It's fun. It's entertaining. It's good for kids. Like, I send my kids out to tournaments all the time. They usually come in top three to their division. But there's a major difference between a tournament sparring bout and actually having to protect yourself. So he always made sure that the technique was very sound and geared towards real life.
So since you've been running the school for over 20 years now, what have been some of the highlights for you running your own, I'm going to mispronounce this, and I'm sorry, you said it was called a, in Korean, doji?
Dojang.
Dojang.
Yeah. Some of the highlights over the years, I've been able to do some public demonstrations, like Canada Day. You probably find some of my videos on that on YouTube. I've taught at several seminars. I've managed to be inducted in the Grandmasters International Registry back in 2015. I was also inducted in Ted Gambardella's World's Greatest Martial Artist, The Sensational 600, which is a large book that only a select amount of martial art masters get to be put into. It's kind of a Hall of Fame type deal. I've managed to be on television programs like Secrets of the Martial Arts, helping one of my colleagues with some Tai Chi, since I have a background in Yang style. And enjoy teaching the kids and adults alike.
So how did business kind of change for you when we hit pandemic mode?
Well, it made me have to go virtual, which was relatively a 90% lossage on students. So enrollment is really, really down due to it. The ones that do stay online, they really do seem to love their classes, though. We have a lot of fun together.
And one last thing before we actually get into, like, you telling me about the different martial arts techniques is you introduced yourself as Justin Powell, but there were three names before that. What was that? Did I mishear you or something?
It's Quang Jang Nim, which is a title given to a director. So it makes me a director, which is in Korean, you have Sabam Nim, which just means teacher, sir. Usually issued to first dan to about a fourth dan. And then once you hit fourth dan, you're known as a master, Song Jang Nim. So in the higher ranks, when you get put in charge of stuff, sometimes you get called Quang Jang Nim or director, sir.
And who gives these titles out?
Generally, the head of the associations that you're with. In my case, I was with Central Canada Martial Arts Association. And I was also issued the titleship of Quang Jang Nim through World Elite Black Belt Society, which is also known as WEBS.
So I've been making notes as we've been talking. I'm sure I've misspelt most of the words that you've said to me, but you talked about a couple different martial arts styles, and I'm wondering if you could kind of explain the difference between some of them.
Depending on which type of style you're speaking of, like Taekwondo is typically renowned for their kicking art. However, the version that I was originally taught was taught in Korea military. So it wasn't just kicks. We learned how to use all ranges of hands, our knees, our elbows. And there was even originally some ground technique along with it and weapons defense against knives, guns, rifles with bayonets, things like that. So different styles have different philosophies and theories of how to use these ranges. For example, the Tai Chi, they like to use zero force. They like to be utterly relaxed, lead you into empty space. So they use the opponent's energy against them instead of trying to be forceful. As where the wrestling type arts are typically more on the ground.
Okay, so I know you've gone through a multitude of them, mastered or at least dipped your toe in a bunch of the different techniques. What kind of draws you to the different styles? Like, why not just stick with one for your whole life?
Well, that's the funny part. As much as I've always explored other martial arts, I've tried different styles of kung fu, karate, tote, I've done jiu-jitsu, I've done some sambo, but I always seem to come back to taekwondo at the end of the day. It's a very simplistic art when you actually look at it. It's got a lot of self-protection skills that are very easy to use, and it's got an honesty about it, the history to it. It gives a very accurate date. This is when it was made. As where a lot of other martial arts kind of get shrouded in historical mystery to an extent.
Oh, so can you tell us a bit of history of Taekwondo?
Well, Taekwondo originally is based off of karate. Back in the day, going somewhere between 1900 and 1955, some of the Korean masters learned Shotokan karate. Some from books, some actually learned from Gichin Funakoshi or other masters in the area. and they brought back the system to Korea, and they had a multitude of kwans. Eventually, some of the masters, like the Odo Kwan, decided to design their own patterns, like the Chen Han set, which General Choi Hung Hai in 1955 started to curriculize and set the word Taekwondo and have a system based around it. This was finalized somewhere between 1965 and the mid-80s. He made a lot of changes over and over. So there's several versions of the style. As where the Chengmu Kwan, which is another Kwan, he also learned Shotokan. And his colleague was a Taekyun master, which is a Korean peasant martial art. So they blended some of that and created the Palgwe system back in 1967. The Taegyup series, which we know as the Olympic Taekwondo today, finalized their Pumse back around 1973. And they shortened stances and made it represent more of the sparring techniques that they were using at the time period. So you have a transition from these different forms of karate, and then they started narrowing it down to more and more of their own styles by the time it hit the 80s.
So is there one of these particular styles that stands out to you that you prefer?
Traditionally, I've always stuck with the Chen Han patterns, which is the ITF style Taekwondo. But in my older age, I've really come to appreciate the World Taekwondo Pumse as well.
It's just because the body isn't as fast as it once was?
Different application of the technique in the Pumse. They use slightly different ranges, different striking patterns, different targeting. So when you look at the Bunhai to the patterns, it just gives you something new to look on that's still the same as what you kind of know.
Okay. I'd like to go back to when you were a kid, if you don't mind, because we heard that when you were very young, your dad started training your muscles and your joints. But fast forward a little bit, what was it like for you as a child? I read that you were homeschooled.
That I was. Growing up around my house, there was always martial arts going on. There was always students coming by. And most of the day, I would sit there and do my schoolwork. And then for gym class, I'd get Taekwondo instead. And originally, when I left grade school, I had a very hard time reading. And within about 11 months, my mother, from the homeschooling she gave me, really increased my mental attitude towards education. And I was reading at almost a high school level. So based on the test they gave me at the end of the year, I really excelled at what I did. And it gave me a real passion for reading. So I've always got a martial art book floating around somewhere.
It's kind of a best of both worlds. Your mom got you into reading. Yeah. Your dad got you into martial arts. And you just put it all together, kind of like you.
It was a very wonderful upbringing.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it. And I'm so when you're focused on the homeschooling, then you just have to go through like different tests and everything. I'm wondering, when it came to the martial arts with your dad, did you go the traditional route, or was it just like a home have, this is a fun little thing? I'm saying like more.
Well, I was treated like any other student when it was class time.
So you got, if you got better, you got rewards.
I never got rewarded, never got special treatment. I'd have to do everything by the books. I'd have to learn all of my techniques. I'd have to go through my tests. I remember my yellow belt test. It was back in like 1987, I think it was a 2-hour test. And I had to make all the breaks with all the boards. I had to make all the technique work on the grown-ups. It was very long. And then in the 90s, when I was being homeschooled, I had to go through my green belt test. And that was a 4-hour test. Same deal. And I had to go through all the sparring against multiple partners, all the breaking. I had to do all the technique, the Pumse, and all the way up to my black belt like that, which was an 8-hour test at the time. And I had to remake all the same breaks, all the same sparring, explain all 4 styles of Taekwondo that I learned, all the histories. It was quite intense.
And it was like 8 hours straight, or did you at least get a break in between?
You get a water break.
Oh, there you go.
But aside from that, it was an endurance test.
I guess that makes sense, because it's, I don't want to say the word control, but that's all that's a discipline. It's a discipline with the body. Is that right?
Yes, it is. And I had to prove that my mind, my body, and my spirit can hold up to the black belt that I was being issued.
And that was when you were 12 years old.
Approximately, yes.
That's amazing. So you basically get your first degree black belt at 12. Where do you go from there?
Back to training.
There's other belts around.
The funny thing about black belt is it just shows that you've understood all the fundamental techniques. So it takes many years after that to start refining the techniques that you've learned and understanding the different angles and applications of it. So it makes the technique smoother, more efficient, and you have to express a deeper understanding as each Dan rank goes through. The unique thing about his association is for every Dan, you had to understand a completely other martial art and how your art would work against it. So you'd have to give a full synopsis and a breakdown, basically in an essay or physical explanation of how you would apply your art to that art to be able to gain your promotions.
So if I'm understanding correctly, it's kind of a way to, you gave us the brief history of Taekwondo, you kind of mentioned how different styles were inspired by different things. Heck, Taekwondo was inspired by karate, like you said. So yes. Is that kind of what the responsibility of a black belt is, to kind of bring different styles and different perspectives to the art?
As a black belt, you want to refine your art and relay what you learn to others so that they understand historically where everything comes from, that this is a sound technique, and that your mind, your body, and your spirit have to be disciplined. And the formal exercises amongst the class start to produce this, and then it creates an essence of confidence and sureness amongst the students below you.
So
basically, a black belt is just a white belt that never stopped practicing.
That's a great way of looking at it, because the way it's depicted in popular culture is it's the peak championship, right? You've reached it, you're done. But the way you're explaining it is you've reached it, congratulations, now carry out the legacy.
You're just beginning at that point.
That's amazing. Brief side, do you watch any martial arts movies?
I watch all kinds of them. My favorites are usually the old B-rated Shaw Brother type ones.
I don't think I've ever heard of that.
Funny, or you see something really cool in them. Mostly out of Hong Kong. You had a lot of guys like Gordon Liu. He played in some of the Kill Bill movies. And Alexander Fu Shen, Cao Cao. These are a lot of the old Chinese opera acrobatic types. They're all around at the same time as like Jackie Chan and Bruce Lee. But they mostly stayed in Hong Kong during the time period. But they started making some international come over, quite similar to what Jet Li did.
As somebody with your background who lives and breathes martial arts, is there anything that you see in those movies that you just kind of scoff at? Like you're just, that's just the films.
Most of it's very unrealistic in movies.
Most of it.
Yeah. You're not going to get the 20-minute epic fights. You're not going to get the fancy movements. You're not going to start off doing a little display of your style and have the dubbed lips not match the voice kind of deal. In reality, it's like a quick 3 seconds.
That's how long it goes, really?
Yeah. A real situation is about 3 seconds. If it's 6 seconds, it's been a very long fight.
Wow.
So that's a major difference between a movie, which has like a 20-minute epic battle, versus a tournament that has a 2 to a 3 minute round, versus 3 to 6 seconds out on the street.
Wow, that you just kind of blew my mind there. I'm now just thinking, because that's, I'm sure like most people, my introduction to martial arts was from a lot of films. So to hear that it's completely different, it's kind of, I got to see one of your matches. That's what I got to do. I got to see how it actually goes in real life.
It's different. I usually stick to mostly teaching, though.
Fair enough. So speaking of, we've gone to the 90s where you've earned the black belt. We talked about the 2000s where you took over your father's studio. Somewhere in there, you met a lovely woman, I hear.
Yeah, back in 1998, just going into 1999. Surprisingly, it was my father. He was in a martial art chat room, and he was talking to a bunch of people, and he was like, you should go into that chat room and go and talk to this young lady. She does Taekwondo and Karatempo, which is an American style of karate. So I listened, and we started getting along really, really well. and we made really good friends, and we kept talking and hanging out, and then we eventually started dating, and then eventually it was just a permanent thing where we got married.
Well, congratulations. I know it's probably way after the fact. When did you guys get married?
Well, we officially got married in 2010 on paper, but we've considered each other married since back in like 2000-ish. We've always just been a permanent couple.
Oh, that's lovely. And you're a father as well, I hear.
Yes, I have my wonderful son, Kate. She's going to be 3 in April. And I have my younger son, Jax. He's going to be born in early March.
Oh, going to be born?
Yeah.
Congratulations, my friend.
Thank you.
So you're probably expecting this question. Are you going to do what your dad did as well when you were just an infant?
That's actually what I've been doing. I started him off about 3 months old, and I did the same thing. And now he's just doing little kicks, and he does his warm-up with me, and he's got a little rebreakable board that he hits and he breaks, and we have a lot of fun together.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. So then, speaking of your son, is your dream to have the same path as your father so that one day, if your sons want to, like not forced into it, that they continue your legacy as well?
I would love to see it happen, especially with the two of them, because they'd be able to do so much more than I ever could. Growing up, I didn't always have a training partner. So if they continue on the same path, they'll actually excel and exceed what myself or my father have ever done. And I'd be very proud of them. But if they chose a different path, I'd also be happy with that too.
Oh, of course.
As long as they're happy and they're enjoying what they do.
You are going to be one of the first households that ever really embraces sibling fights. Of course, in a different context.
Well, that's the funny part. I don't believe in fighting.
All right, this I got to dive into. Please elaborate.
Well, the more you learn martial arts and the more you understand how easy it is to harm somebody, the less likely you actually want to have to do it. So in the long run, you start off learning to break the body down, and then you actually want to learn how to repair it. So you start looking into healing arts, and then it leads you into just wanting to avoid confrontation altogether. So you begin to learn the art of fighting without fighting.
Would you kind of say that that is your philosophy with martial arts, or is there something else that really makes you respect the craft?
The craft itself I respect overall, and the different philosophies of each martial art, because it's historically unique. But I do believe in fighting without fighting. Parts of my martial philosophy is a good technique is one that is never seen. I do believe don't trust anybody. Watch out for everything because this will keep you alert. And I also believe that you should strike hard and fast if a situation does occur. Don't become a victim. Make sure that you always protect yourself. But you shouldn't lash out and strike first without trying to calmly delegate the situation in a way where you don't have to. So if you can talk your way out of it and everything is calm and everybody can agree and come to a conclusion in that format, it's better than having to throw your fists.
And that's kind of what the philosophy you want to pass on to your students, I imagine.
Yes. Part of our philosophy and our code of conduct is to never misuse Taekwondo. We're to be a champion of freedom and justice. We're always to build a more peaceful world. You can't build a more peaceful world if you're constantly causing violence. So it teaches you to be more passive inside, at one with nature, per se.
Speaking of your students, I was reading that you tend to be selective with who you take under your wing. Am I right in saying so?
Yes, as a lot of what I teach is actually very lethal, and I don't want that put into the wrong hands. So I have a process where you're under probation until I see you're fit enough to continue. If not, I will tell you that I can't continue your training.
And when you say fit, do you mean like physically, mentally, a mixture of both?
Mentally, physically, and spiritually. If it doesn't fit the Trinity, you won't be right for the martial art that I'm teaching. You might be okay with a different school or style if the philosophy is different, but in my school, it might not work out for you.
So, and you say you have like a probation, a trial period. How long does that typically, I guess, when you decide that, all right, I'll keep you on?
Usually within the first 6 months to a year. If your mental attitude is good, you're physically capable of doing what I'm teaching, I'll continue to train you.
So then with the students you have now, you said you had to go to virtual, which I'm sure is quite different, especially when you're talking about control of the body, because in person you can kind of see what your students are doing. But what have you noticed from the virtual as opposed to the in-person training?
Virtual training, you really have to rethink your explanation as well as give a lot of visual movement. So you're repeating certain key points of techniques over and over again. You're using zoom-ins on your feet, your hands, positioning of your body, taking individualized questions from each screen in your Zoom meeting, things like that. You can't just do a quick follow-along warm-up routine like you're doing a fitness class. You have to individualize the martial art to each student, their body type, and their needs.
So like in gym class, when they tell you to run a lap before we actually start, you have specific thing that fits their body type?
Yes. Generally, when I start off with a warm-up, I usually start off with a neck all the way down to the toes and a sit-down stretch routine. But if I notice you're lacking flexibility in a certain area, you're going to get different exercises from the other people. If there's certain muscles that you need strength in, I'll give advice on different exercises for Taekwondo training that will enhance that for you. For example, if you're having a hard time with vertical leaping for your jump snap kick, that our black belt, we have to make 9 feet as a minimum. I'll give different exercises like squat hops and other calf training muscle development that'll allow you to get more height on that type of leap. Because not everybody's body types are the same. Some have short legs, some have long legs. The body might be different. So you have to be able to adapt it so that the person can have comfort and be able to perform. And this gives them a sense of individual confidence, which once is given, really enhances their lifestyle.
I can see that, because if you compare yourself to other people, you're not always going to match up. But if you push yourself farther and only focus, you know, on your improvement, I could see that working in spades.
It does. And once you get that angle, you realize, hey, I can do stuff other people can't. I'm special. I'm unique, and I can do something cool.
Right. Makes sense to me. So if somebody was listening and they wanted to learn from the master, as it would, are you still accepting students right now, or are you waiting till you're back in person?
I am accepting virtual students. If I'm contacted, I'll give the general information. It's usually easiest to find me on Facebook. But and then the in-person comes back to class. I make sure that I have a selected amount of space for each student and follow all the protocols and rules so that we're all safe and can enjoy ourselves.
All right. We're just about at the tail end of our show, and I wanted to wrap up with looking ahead. So you've pretty much done most, if not all, things, at least from an outsider's perspective, when it comes to martial arts. You've got your own school, your own students, you got family, another boy on the way. What do you see in your future? Like, if you had a dream scenario, what would you see coming up?
A dream scenario, I would have to try to push the limits further to where I'm at and open up the martial arts to be more available to more children, especially in the West Nipissing area, because there's really not enough for people to do in this town anymore. So I'd like to be able to share that as low cost as possible with people, share more techniques virtually, and perhaps build a channel or a show based around that and bring a lot of the students and involvement with it.
So you don't see rest anytime in the near future?
I very seldomly rest.
That's why you're a successful man.
I try.
Well, in my eyes, you are. And I want to thank you very much, Justin, for taking time and sharing your story with us.
Well, thank you.